This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello and welcome to Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin coming to you for the Valero Texas Open at the TPC San Antonio Oaks course. We will get into all of the statistics, course breakdown, what we put into our models and what our models spit out. But boys, I thank you for holding down the ship last week and getting some picks and a podcast out there. We see Scottie Scheffler somehow find a way to not win, although he was right there till the very, very end. Kelly, if you look at this, we'll talk a ton about this as we head into the Masters. We're going to have a special Masters show over on the network. We're going to have a Masters betting primer that you can go get over on VSiN.com this very week. But
up now.
Yeah, up now probably by the time you hear this. But it's one of those things where you just look at this and, yeah, he didn't win, but he was literally right there yet again. And you know, we kind of joked about it, I think, about a month ago here on the podcast. But, like, these winner without markets with Scottie Scheffler, they're going to be up for the Masters. And I'm depending on the price difference and depending on the payout, I would not talk someone off the ledge so long as it wasn't just cutting your payout massively. Because the way that this guy's it you know, I've had people poke fun at me because of the stuff that I've said on my shows about this is a historic run. Like, I think everyone wants to put Tiger in this, like, in this stratosphere all of us all alone, where Tiger had about three or four different dudes that he really battled it out with during that, like, epic run of his. Whereas there are 30 different guys, if not 40 different guys, that can go out and tee it up and win it on the PGA Tour right now, because they all learned from Tiger. They all work out and they all got strong and they all can hit it long and they all learn from Tiger. And so it's one of those deals where, you know, with Scottie Scheffler, if someone tells me they want to bet him every single event, I mean, so be it. Like, I'm not going to tell him not to.
Yeah. I mean, it was top tens. I was betting top tens on him every single week until that got too juicy last week at -275. You had to lay for a top 10.
You had to cash it. Yeah.
Like you said, I mean, that is all I bet last week. But the only, you know, quote unquote outrights that I bet were in the winner without Scottie Scheffler market. I didn't get any of those home. Congratulations, Wes Reynolds, for hitting Steven Yeager. 9 pars in a row. That's all you need to get done on the back nine. I didn't think that was going to hold on, man, but it did.
Yeah, Jaeger bomb. Look, I was looking too. I was like, okay, this is probably going to go to the playoff and I'm going to have to lay Scottie Scheffler at a price just to, like, make a little bit of something out of this thing. But, you know, kept waiting for all these other guys to go away. Alejandro Tosti was lurking. Taylor Moore was lurking. David Skins. But it looked like it was coming down to Jaeger and Scheffler. And then Scheffler misses that, you know, just outside 5-footer.
Yeah.
And Steven Jaeger with 9 straight pars. And this is a guy that's kind of been one of those perseverance guys where it's like he's kind of been in the mix, but he's never been able to get it home. I think it was 135 starts, and he is finally a PGA Tour winner. So congratulations to Jaeger. He will be in the Masters next week.
And congratulations to Steven Jaeger as well, because if your ass would have got in a playoff, you would not have won. Like, it'd have been
yeah,
over.
That's so, why, like, I was like, okay, yeah, hit submit on Scheffler. He's probably going to be laying like $1.50 or $1.60 at bare minimum before they even hit a tee shot. Because, yeah, look, he got right there. He needed him to miss that putt. And Jaeger got it home. So pretty good tournament down in Houston for us.
Yeah. Matt, I was sitting there with top 20 and top 40 bets on Jaeger. And I'm like, I'm watching that whole back nine thinking to myself, there is no way this guy is holding on. I feel so bad for Wes right now. This is going to suck. There's like 8 guys in the mix here. There's no way Jaeger's going to hold on to this. Like, and then it happened. And I'm just like, well, crap. I wish I would have bet it outright on him. God damn it. Good on Wes.
My television was on delay, by the way, because I'm looking at a couple different sites where it flashes the price and obviously updates where it's ahead. That feed is ahead of most televisions if you're on satellite or DirecTV for a delay. And then all of a sudden I saw it disappear and I didn't see a price. So this was like maybe 10 seconds before Scottie hit the putt. And I was like, God, okay, what happened here?
Right. Yeah. Right.
And it was oh my God, he missed it.
I mean, you know, Scotty Scheffler, poor Scotty, he leaves with only $553,000 this week. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how he's going to get by. It probably felt so weird not holding a trophy up whenever he finished a tournament or whatever. But he is the odds on betting favorites heading the Masters. And for good reason, we'll talk a ton of Scotty Scheffler as we head into next week. But this week here, our final tune-up before the Masters is the Valero Texas Open over at TPC San Antonio Oaks course. Wes, as we look at this course, it is a course that a lot of times we look at these TPC courses, and certainly the course snobs out there will kind of turn their nose up and say like, oh, these courses are so boring and TPC doesn't do anything interesting with these courses, et cetera, et cetera. But you do get some of these guys now talking about this, specifically this Oaks course at TPC San Antonio, and you do start to get a little bit of love from these guys. They do say that, hey, this is a pretty stern test for these dudes, and specifically if the wind is blowing, things can get a little wacky out there for this course. It is tree-lined. There are strategic bunkers that are placed, you know, that are pretty deep in front of greens and things. And so as far as the TPC courses that we play on tour each and every year, we don't get as many people going like, another birdie fest. Another putting contest. They actually respect this course here. And as you kind of dug in, I think that you probably found the same.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not wont to want to compliment Greg Norman very often on anything, but this is actually a good design that he has here. It's played at a little bit of elevation, surprisingly enough. When I was kind of just looking through, okay, you know, what are the different surfaces? What is the agronomy here? It's paid actually at like 1,100 feet of elevation. Not a ton of bunkers here and not a ton of water danger holes, but it's pretty narrow in terms of on the narrow side for fairways, about 28 yards on average width. It is rye and fescue. The greens are Poa overseed, Poa Triv overseed. This is an interesting test, and it is predicated, as you pointed out, Matt, in terms of wind, because some of the winning scores you will see here, like 8 under, 9 under, 10 under, 11 under, but it can be scored upon if there's no wind, like Corey Connors did in 2019, 20 under par. By the way, Connors, the defending champion, so he's won here twice in 5 years. But it is a pretty good test. It's not an exact facsimile of Augusta, because the greens are pretty slow, 11 on the stamp, whereas Augusta, they're going to be like 13, 13 and a half, and they're pure slick bent grass greens. So, you know, so it's not the exact facsimile, but I think it is going to be a decent test. And then, you know, a lot of people are going to use the term tune-up in terms of this field this week, and I'll let you go ahead and break down the field, guys. But a lot of the guys that are at the top here are guys that have not exactly played great here in 2024, that have had their moments, but have been pretty darn inconsistent when you look at the shorter odd guys on the board.
No, absolutely. Really tough par fives here as well on this course, where it's, you're going to need to score on them, but still, like, they're pretty tough. Some of the toughest collection of par fives on tour. And you kind of see some of the stuff where these greens, depending on the wind, can get to be pretty, to where they're not very receptive, because they can dry out pretty good. And I think the approach game obviously is something that we'll be emphasizing on a ton as we get into the model and the breakdown here. But Kelly, as we look, the odds board, Rory McIlroy is your favorite at 9-1. Ludvig is your second shot at 12-1. And then we go all the way to Spieth and Hideki at 20-1, 22 with Max. Matt Fitzpatrick at 25, as is Corey Connors, as is Colin Morikawa. Then we get into the 30 range with Benny On, Alex Noren, Tommy Fleetwood, Harris English at 35, Brian Harman at 35, Billy Horschel at 35, everybody else 40-1 or longer. And I can't speak for you guys. I don't know. We don't talk about our cards beforehand, so we don't want to influence each other, but I don't guess anybody's going to have Rory on their card this week from an outright perspective. Rory at 9-1, Kelly. I just don't know if it's deserving really at this point. Yeah. I'm looking at a guy who's really, really struggling to put together four rounds. And so, is he the most talented, like, physically golf, you know, whatever? Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe we could argue at this point Ludvig is right there with him, but I can't get to 9-1. And I got to be honest with you, if the price was even Ludvig at 12 or whatever, like, I still don't think he'd make my card.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he would either. If he was that price, I, you know, as Wes was alluding to, I don't really know that we're going to get we often worry, you know, sometimes before majors about what these guys are going to look like competitive wise. They're really going to enter this tournament looking to win it, or are they working on fine tuning some things? There's a bunch of guys at the top of this board that have not had very good form to start this season. I think we should expect a very competitive tournament this week, with a lot of those guys needing to get into form and get into form really quick here before next week. So if you're a Rory McIlroy, a Max Homa, a Colin Morikawa, Tommy Fleetwood, these are the guys that, I mean, geez, how many times have we said their names on this podcast betting over the past couple years, and they've all been pretty terrible here to start. So no, I hear you on Rory. I couldn't get there. I wouldn't get there, you know, regardless. I don't even know what his number would have to be for me to bet him. Yeah. We're talking 16-1, bro.
Yeah, this isn't like the Scottish Open either, where he won obviously the week before the Open Championship last year, where it's like, okay, he makes total sense at the Scottish Open or something like that. And he has played well the week before a major, but Rory's kind of tried different things over the years. He's tried the Tiger approach, where it's like, no, I'm going to work on my game at Windermere, wherever he works on it. Whereas Phil Mickelson always liked to play the week before the major. So yeah, you have a really good field here, but with the guys that aren't in a lot of form, and it kind of, you know, clashes with a real trend here, because this is the best field we've had at the Valero in years. 8 of the last 11 Valero or events, I should say the Valero, and then when the Houston Open was the week before the Masters, 8 of the last 11 were won by a player who was not in the field at the Masters. So this is the last chance for these guys to get in the Masters. And then of the last 12 winners, 6 won a PGA Tour event for the first time. We saw that a couple years ago with JJ Spahn, saw it with Corey Connors, Andrew Landry. So a few of the winners here. So the good field, you know, really clashes with the long-term trends here of, you know, a lot of these guys that aren't in the Masters, they're going to be trying to get in here. They're not here for a tune-up. They're trying to just get a spot in the field.
Yeah. And I look at, like, you know, Rory in specific, you know, you look and yeah, the one thing you can kind of point to with him is the driver. But the only problem with all of this is, like, when he misses with the driver, he misses really big. Right. And so the problem here, while the rough isn't all that penal, if you get further than that little cutter up, it can be death. I mean, there's, you know, obviously there's the infamous thing about the 16 and stuff from a few years ago and all this, but like, that's like Rory's miss is a bad miss. Like Rory's either like awesome 348 yards down the dead ass center, or it's a bad miss. And a bad miss here can basically put you out of contention in one hole. And so that's the other thing that presents a bunch of pause for me about Rory. And, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit later. I mean, I've kind of attacked him here in head-to-heads and things like that for this tournament, because I don't know if this even actually fits him all that great. And if there's anyone out there though that would use this as a tinker tournament, it would be Rory, right? Like like of any of these dudes, if there's anyone out there who's going to be like, you know what, I'm going to be working on this and I don't care if I make the cut or not, because if I don't have this when I head to Augusta, I have zero chance, right? Like if there's anyone, it would be Rory.
And it's the one thing too, obviously, at Augusta that he has not done in his career, which is win the Masters. You know, he's been trying to win the career Grand Slam since 2015. Because, of course, won the 2014 PGA Championship at Valhalla. So that's all he cares about. And I know he was half joking about this, but he has talked about it like, yeah, if I win this, man, I might just retire. Yeah. And I know he's half joking, but maybe a little bit partially serious, because that tells you that's all he's focused on right now. And that's all he should be focused on.
Yeah, I agree. And so it's just, to me, there's just so many things pointing against him. Like I said, if there's any, he's infinitely rich, he's won a ton of times, like he doesn't need to win this tournament. Like it's if there's anybody who I think would actually go out there and just want to have two competitive rounds of tinkering, I could see it being Rory. So another reason for me to be on the fade with him. We'll talk about our model stuff here in a second, but guys, if you haven't already become a VEASAN Pro subscriber, now is definitely the time. Head over to the website, go to VEASAN.com/subscribe and use the promo code GOLF, G-O-L-F. We're going to give you $41 off of an annual subscription if you do that. So again, VEASAN.com/subscribe, use promo code GOLF, but that gets you every single thing that we do over there, not just the golf picks, but everything that's going on. Of course, baseball just got fired up. You want to make sure that you have all the basketball stuff as we head down the stretch over there. And then, of course, the NHL coming down to the wire too. So make sure that you are a VEASAN Pro subscriber, slash subscribe, promo code golf. All right, Kelly, let's talk about what you found important this week, what you plugged into your models, because there are some people out there that I do know want to kind of weight their models at least somewhat similarly to what we're looking at here. So what did you like? What did you not like that maybe some of the other people did? And what did you weight more heavily maybe than some people did?
Yeah, interesting course, as you guys were talking about it. It's really not one I was kind of looking back earlier. It's not a tournament I've had a ton of betting success at in the past. But, yeah. I like this tournament. Obviously, the couple wins by Corey Connors really stick out over the years. I think it's an interesting setup. I really do. I like that when we get a little bit just slightly different setups. You guys were talking about the off the tee stuff. I think it's always very interesting here. I mean, you're talking about what is this, the third most double bogeys on tour, right, at this tournament, only behind the players and the Honda or Cognizant. So, like you were talking about, Matt, you can't be spraying it off the tee, but at the same time, like, you can kind of bomb it down there as long as you're not too far off the fairway. So, looked at some good drives and driving distance, plugged that stuff in, and then heavy on approach stats, approach and proximity buckets. Shorter proximity, I looked at shorter iron play just from a lot of these. You guys kind of hit on it. The par fives, you got to score on, but a lot of these par fives are going to be too long for these guys to attack in two shots. So actually looked at some lower range proximity stuff, opportunities gained, par fives probably weighed them as heavy as I will all year. This is, again, we're talking about scoring on the toughest par fives on tour. But there's only two holes on this course that aren't par fives that actually average under par. So you got to score on these no matter how hard they are if you're going to win this thing. So par fives really factor those in heavily as I will for any tournament probably. And then a mix of sand saves around the green, scrambling. There is heavy bunkers around the green here. Like you were talking about before, Matt, you can get into trouble off the tee too. You might, where the scrambling might need to take over a bit. And then just bogey avoidance overall on a course like this that only has three water danger holes. There's really not a lot of water that you can find here. So just keeping it in the fairway and on the greens, trying your best to do that is where you're going to find success. And I kind of went no putter this week. I didn't really look at much putting, putting stats at all. So that was everything for me.
Yeah, team no putt for me this week as well. And Kelly, I did the same thing. So I really rarely ever will put like 50 to 100 into my model or like, you know, to 125 or something. But I actually not only put it in this week, but weighted it fairly heavily because if these guys are not, and the vast majority of the field is not going to get to these in two, there are going to be some guys that can. It's going to be 250 plus yard approaches. They're going to be able to hit their three woods or five woods, and they're going to be able to get there. But most of these guys are not going to take that route. And most of them are going to lay it up, you know, to that 100, 125 to have some sort of short wedge in and try to be able to score on it. And with that, I emphasize that a lot this week. And so, and Wes, I know as you probably did your research, you saw the same things that we did where the correlation to driving distance hasn't really equaled like winning here at this course, but also the field has never been this strong. And so I did put total driving into mine and I did like weight it because like it, for me, if I still want someone that is going to be able to have a leg up on the rest of the field. And like, you know, in the past, cause there was only two or three top guys in it. I can see why it wasn't correlated or something, but now this feels much, much deeper this year. And so I'm just deducing I'm making my own assumptions here, and this could be wrong. And I could be, we could be doing this podcast next year and I'll go like, hey, that assumption I made last year was completely wrong, you know, and I might do that, but I actually factored it in fairly heavily into the model as well, because again, stronger, deeper field. I want the dudes that are pretty long and accurate, even though that hasn't really equaled success here. What did you throw in yours, Wes, that maybe was a little bit different? Or is there anything that you de-emphasized maybe that was a little bit different?
Yeah, you mentioned about the accuracy. The average accuracy here, I believe, is only 54%. And it was actually lower last year because it was really windy and the scoring was a little bit higher. But in terms of the driving, I think total driving is a good way to go. I went good drives gained here. I didn't really want to go heavily distance and accuracy. Good drives gained, of course. Even if you don't hit the fairway, you can still hit the greens in regulation. So that's what good drives gain really gives you. Used a decent amount of approach here in three of the last 6 years. The Valero winner has rated first in approach during their respective winning weeks in this field. So I think you had to use the irons at least somewhat significant here in a model. Kelly mentioned bogey avoidance about, you know, it's tough to avoid bogeys here and a lot of doubles. I think third highest course is what Kelly mentioned. So bogey avoidance, strokes gain par five. I did use some sand saves gain because it's tough to gain strokes out of the sand here because the bunkers are kind of, I guess, what you could describe as cavernous here. So I did use that. Scrambling, I used a little bit, even though it's easier than the average course on tour. But, you know, if the weather affects short game, too, not just your drives and not just your approach shots. So I used a little bit of that. Birdie or better, I pretty much use every week just because I want to see how these guys are scoring. And I think that gives you a good indication of that. The only putting I did was very, very small on average speed greens because these are only 11 on the stem. So these are slower by tour standards than these guys see. These aren't exactly like, I think our friends at Fantasy National call it Velcro. So it's not like it's like 10 on the stem or something, but it's slower than what these guys have normally been putting on. So I looked at that a little bit and then I tried to factor in if this is going to be windy this week. Obviously, if there's no wind, then just throw all that out. But moderate to windy conditions for strokes gained here this week. So a lot of similarities, but I did emphasize good drives gained a little bit more than I thought I would. I thought I would be, you know, total like approach guy here, but I was really kind of a mix and match of those two.
Yeah, I think the only other thing that I added into mine that y'all didn't was, and you might have, I put in just strokes gain on long courses because with this being a long course, I did throw that in there just as kind of more of a tiebreaker than anything else. I think I weighted it like 3% of the 100% or something, but I did want to see what guys typically handle these longer courses pretty well. And even though I didn't weight it very heavily, the guys that ended up at the top of the model were also guys that were pretty good on these long courses. So I think that has some correlation to what we've been talking about here as well. We're going to step away real quick, guys. And when we come back, we'll let you know what the model said and what we ended up putting on our betting cards. Welcome back to Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds. Again, if you haven't already, become a VSiN Pro subscriber, VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code GOLF. We're going to give you $41 off your annual subscription over there for every single thing we do over there on VSiN.com. So, guys, my model ran, and I just refresher, if you guys are just joining us, if you guys are new, I don't code. So when I say my model, I actually just mean the stuff I put into someone else's model. It's not my model. But I do use three different sites that obviously have three different algorithms and also have three different data sets of stuff that I can plug in to try and figure out where I want to go with the card. And this week, all three of the models that I ran in three different sites had two guys that I ended up having to play in some fashion is coming in at number one or number two. One of those is Hideki Matsuyama, and Hideki Matsuyama, a guy that started off kind of meh at the beginning of 2024, but then really started to turn it on as we got into February. And so he was number one in two of the three. And then the first outright on my card was the guy who was number one in the other one and was number two in the other one. It was number three in the other. So no lower than three in the models, including a one, Alex Noren. So Alex Noren is 33-1 first outright for me this week. Pretty shocking whenever I went in and because I'm like, what the hell is this model doing? Right. And so I go in and I start looking at Alex Noren, and then I shortened this down to just 2024 starting after the Hawaii swing. Right. So like, I didn't want to like skew anything where these short field events or anything like that. So after the Hawaii swing for the rest of 2024, leading up to yesterday, Alex Noren is the number one strokes gained total golfer in all of the PGA Tour since the Hawaii swing. He is 17th tee to green, 24th off the tee, 39th on approach, 25th ball striking, 39th putting, 26th short game. The guy is literally inside the top 40 in every single thing that you can do with a golf club and golf ball since the Hawaii swing. So I couldn't avoid putting him in there. The model was right, apparently, from what the stats are telling me. It's a shorter number than we'd like to pay for Alex Noren, but hey, man, it's he's checking every single one of the boxes. Wes, I mean, Wes and Kelly, both of you guys, I don't know. I saw y'all both kind of like lean away from the microphone. Is it because he showed up on your
just
model,
talk through,
or is it because he, or
just talk through my whole betting card, Matt? Just talk through the whole thing. It's okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
Was
that?
Was what did he make your outright as well?
I was laughing because it was the same thing for me. It was I think everything I ran was Matsuyama. I'm just double checking. Matsuyama or Noren was number one on every single thing that I ran. So yeah, it's I mean I'm sure everybody that's been paying attention to golf would know that Alex Noren has been one of the greatest in the world over the past several weeks. So I did not bet it outright on Noren though. The dude, how many wins does he have again? Not that many.
No, so, 10 on the DP World Tour.
Zero on American soil. Zero on American soil.
Now, it is YOLO, right? Like, he's got to win this thing, like, to get into the Masters, right? Like, I don't even know if he can finish top five. So, I hear you. That's where you're, I was too big of a wuss. I went with just a top 20 play on him.
Yeah, it's just wild. Number one in bogey avoidance. Number one in scrambling. Number three in par five average. Number eighth in distance from the edge of the fairway, which is basically good drives. And whatever, like 14th in sand save percentage. It's just wild to me. Like, I mean, I knew he was playing good, but I just didn't really dig in to see how good. Wes, did Noren also make your card?
He did. He actually is at the top of my card this week. 34-1. I found him at Circa here. And look, last week, Jaeger kind of rewarded bettors who had been betting him and falling short with the consistency. And Alex Noren really is Mr. Consistency. He's made 15 of his last 18 cuts, third at the Shriner, second at Bermuda in the fall swing. Three straight top 20s, ninth at the Cognizant, 19th at the Players, 11th at the Houston Open. So this is a guy, strokes gained total, I think I had him fifth over the last 24 rounds. This guy can compete on this tour. He's in his early 40s. He's won 10 times on the DP World Tour and against strong fields too, not necessarily the weak fields when all the big names don't play. Like, he's beaten the best European guys and the best worldwide guys over there. But the price is small, but yeah, he really fit this week. But aside from the model, just maybe going on a little bit of a hunch here that, it kind of feels like it's almost like his turn because he's been there. He's been in the mix and he obviously has the sense of urgency too, because he is not in the Masters field. So I think he was the shortest odd guy, I believe, that is not in the Masters field this week. So I thought he made a lot of sense.
Yeah, that was it. And for you recent form guys, his last three starts, T9, T19, T11. So inside the top 20 in his last three starts as well. Played here last year, T15. So a lot of things to like there about Alex Noren. Kelly, did I ruin your Hideki spiel here?
Yeah, pretty much, but it's okay. You hit on everything. It's great. Hideki's an outright play for me this week. And a top 20 play. I love him this week. I love him this week. I've already got a Masters bet loaded up on him. I think that if you are looking to bet him this like I am this week, you might not love the Masters number that's out there right now, but if you're betting him to win this week and you think there's a chance he's going to win this week, that number's only going to get worse. So I would recommend betting him now if you are going to follow along and bet Hideki this week as well. You guys hit on it. You hit on a bit, Matt, but I mean, T6, the Players, T12 API, won the Genesis, T22 Phoenix. He's been awesome. And I don't, with both him and Noren, like, I mean, Wes talked about this in the first segment. There's not, I don't think this is a course, and maybe this isn't true either. Like you were talking about with the driving distance, Matt. Like, maybe it's just because of the field strength over the years. But you talked about all the first-time winners here, Wes. So, obviously, the course history doesn't have a ton of correlation to winners here either. But there's, like, there was only these results that strengthened arguments, right? So you're like, all right, Hideki, okay, everything's good. Recent form, stats check out. Okay, shoot, he was T15 here last year. That's pretty good. Yeah. Alex Noren, same damn thing. You're like, even when you're trying to talk yourself out of it, it's like, well, okay, there's another thing to back you up. So, yeah, Hideki, Noren, I'll just run through mine real quick.
I have Hideki on the card as well, so we might as well kind of, like, keep it uniform here. I went a different route and I did actually play, sneak peek here. I did play for the Masters already. So that's like one of the few bets that I have in the account, but I played Hideki over Rory at plus money and like at big plus money, like Hideki Hideki plus 135 over Rory. If you didn't hear my Rory spiel, Go back to the beginning of the. Why are you skipping to the picks part of the podcast? You cheater. Don't cheat and skip to the picks part of the podcast. Go back to the beginning and listen to why I don't like Rory this week. But Hideki over Rory at +135 for me this week is how I'm attacking Hideki at one of my bigger head to heads of the year. Wes, I imagine Hideki was pretty popping in your models as well.
Yeah, I absolutely considered him, and it looks like he's at least healthy. Now we gotta wait to see for Wednesday. It's like, did he withdraw from the pro-am or something? Because he's pulled that before, and then you're like, oh my god, this guy's back's like about to fall apart, and then he goes ahead and plays well at the Masters. I think that's what he did when he won a few years ago. But yeah, he certainly appeared, and you know, I'll be interested to see if his price drifts up a little bit next week, if he's kind of a forgotten guy. I don't know if he's going to be forgotten necessarily this year.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kelly. If you like him this week, I'd probably go ahead and at least get a piece now.
Yeah.
And if he contends, I don't know if that number is going to get worse. But you said you had a couple more there on your card.
Yeah. And Wes is right. It's just, you know, if you're betting him to win, like, okay, you think he's going to win, then if he does win, you know that price is getting shorter. Wes might be right, though. If he finishes top 10, who knows, when that stuff gets reshuffled around and reopened next week, you might actually be able to get a little bit longer. So you're probably right, Matt. Maybe that's the best play. Just add a little of him now, and then you can always go back and add some more later.
I can tell you guys what I'm rooting for is I'm just rooting for any household name person in this LIV tournament to do well. Like, I want any person that anyone has ever heard of to do well at LIV and get me better prices on some of these other guys for the Masters this week. So yeah, that's kind of my only hope here. Please, Rom and DJ and Bryson and all, like, everyone, just go have a day. Like, I want you to have a day. But that's neither here nor there. Kelly, what's the rest of your card look like?
Yeah, unlike last year, I can't really see myself betting any LIV guys this year. So I completely agree with that. Yeah, only two outrights for me this week. So I did bet Hideki, and then I went back to Connors. This is obviously the course he wins at. I think he's going to, you know, I think he realizes that over the course of his career. He hasn't picked up any W's. They've all come here. So I think he'll be looking to go out there and put on a show. I mean, look, he was still a top five kind of model play for me all around. T13 the players for him, T18 API, T41 at the Cognizant, T24 at Genesis, T28 at Phoenix. So he's been putting up pretty good solid results this season. That went no wins yet, but you know, solid results this season. So I did bet an outright on him, bet him in the top 20 market, and then played him in a matchup over Matt Fitzpatrick at -102. Then just cruising down. The rest that I attacked was top 10, top 20s, and tournament matchups. Only those two outright bets for me this week. One guy I did not get there with a outright bet on him. Figured I'd just play him in the top 10 market was Nate Lashley. He was a guy that was popping in the model a bit. So long odds just where he was showing up in my models. It was worth a play for me. So did play a long top 10 on him at about 9-1. Top 20s then Hideki, Corey Connors. That's where I bet Norton pretty heavily. And then Keith Mitchell, I'm going back to him one more time. I think I've bet him, I mean, I don't know, four or five straight weeks. But and Matt, we talked about this. I know the last pod you were on, you know, were some of these guys getting tired? I had some money on Mitchell last week. He sure looked tired, but maybe missing that cut and get a couple days off helps him rebound a bit here. So
I hope so, because I have a 75-1 Keith Mitchell outright this week. So yes, I hope so as well. Hopefully getting the weekend off made him feel a little bit better. Yeah,
so top 20s on Hideki, Connors, Norton, and Mitchell for me. And then the tournament matchups, I played another. That's where I played Mitchell again. I played him in a matchup over Bo Hostler. So tournament matchups for me so far, Corey Connors over Matt Fitzpatrick and Keith Mitchell over Bo Hostler. That's my whole card. This is one of those events I don't really want to go betting heavily anyways. And when I kind of ran all my numbers, I just kind of sat here with a smile on my face like I did when you started talking, Matt, because everything lines up. It makes it way easier to make bets for a week.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I am with you. All right, Wes, what ended up on, we know about the Norin stuff. What else ended up on your card?
Yeah, and this was one where I didn't use any of the, what you would call the premium players up at the top, maybe for matchups or placements, but I went with the guys that I think, you know, are needing to get going here and getting in the Masters, and guys that aren't in yet, and another guy that's not in is Billy Horschel, who is around 40-ish to one that I played, has not missed the Masters since 2017, winning this week is his last chance to get that invitation. He's been pretty good here in the past, has a third and a fourth here. That was all the way back in 2015, 2016. But he's trying to rally here. If you look, he's got three top 12 finishes in the last four events. So in terms of really short recent form, has been very good. And he's been clutch in the past when he's needed this. You know, when he's needed to, like, get in the 125 at the Wyndham, he's placed. If you remember 2014 when he won two FedEx Cup events back-to-back and eventually became the FedEx Cup champion, didn't get him on the Ryder Cup team that year, and it probably should have. But he's been clutch when the pressure is on. So, you know, a shorter price than I like to usually play on a Billy Horschel, but I played him around 40 to 1. Another guy that's kind of been consistent, still looking, kind of falls into that Jaeger mode, looking for that first PGA Tour victory, is Christian Bezuidenhout at 55 to 1. Got a first place check at the American Express this year because Nick Dunlap was an amateur who won the thing out in Palm Springs, but 11th on approach, 17th on putting, 21st on total strokes gained this season. The driving was better in the Florida swing when he gained off the tee. That can always be a little bit of his bugaboo, but Bezuidenhout at 55 to 1.
Wes, I'll stop you there because that's my final outright is, is Bezuidenhout. So we hit them all here. Norin, Mitchell, and now Bezuidenhout. That's my final outright as well. A guy that just lit up my model. And so as I dug in a little bit further, I saw all the same things that you did. And weirdly enough, you go into that, shrink it down, like take out the Hawaii part. And then you like when the real tournaments here in the state started, the only guy behind the first guy behind Alex Norin in strokes gained total since then is Christian Bezuidenhout. He's sitting there at second strokes gained total in the entire PGA Tour since that got going. By the way, third in approach over that time span as well, and then fifth in putting. I didn't put a bunch of putting into this. I put no putting into my models this week. But that being said, hell, I mean, if the guy's putting good, I mean, it can only help
hurt.
Right? Yeah, it doesn't hurt. I mean, so he's fifth overall from a putting standpoint. So yeah, so that was actually my final outright.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good to hear. And he's been kind of close. And I think this is one of those events where you see those guys break through like Connors a few years ago. So maybe that'll happen again next week. Maybe it'll happen for this guy too. Maverick McNealy, 66 to 1, looking for his first win on the PGA Tour, trying to make the Masters for the first time. Obviously, you know, maybe you didn't weigh putting very much this week, but if you did, you got arguably the best one in the field, Matt McNealy. Yep. And he's been pretty good in a couple tournaments this year. He's T6 at Phoenix, T9 at the Players. I think there's a little Phoenix crossover here for guys that could play well, even though these are different courses. Fourth in strokes gained total over the last 24 rounds. And then the last three were all triple digit guys. One that you played a couple weeks ago, Matt, that I also had on my Houston card last week, was Andrew Novak at 125 to 1. Ninth here at TPC San Antonio last year. That run of form he had in February, T8 at Phoenix, T8 at Mexico, T9 and PGA National. He slowed a little bit, but six for strokes gained total over the last 24 rounds. Actually did lead the field in putting at the Valero last year and was third for scrambling. So I think he's at least going to be comfortable on these slower greens. So I think worth a poke at triple digits. And then another guy, Ryan Moore, 150 to 1, who has not been in the Masters since 2018, five-time PGA Tour winner, has not won in 7.5 years. He's had back issues over, you know, for really several years now. But if you look recently, he's kind of coming back into form, probably the best golf he's played in a few years. Fifth at the Valspar, 31st in Houston last week, but number one on approach for the last 24 rounds. He's played pretty well at TPC San Antonio before, seventh in 2018, third in 2019. And that was when he was in kind of starting his rut a little bit, and he still played well here. And then one that Kelly mentioned, and I'm certainly going to play on placement markets like he is, Nate Lashley, 155-1. And this is a little bit more, not just a model play, but more of a narrative street play here, because Nate Lashley, I think Mark Hubbard was another one. Joel Damon, of course, who's in the Masters field next week. They were greenside last Sunday to congratulate their good buddy, Stefan Jaeger, on winning his first PGA Tour event. So maybe that inspires a couple of these guys like Lashley or Hubbard to really grind it out and play well this week. Lashley won PGA Tour win. That was back in Detroit in 2019. He was T3 last year, or this year, ironically enough, with his buddy Jaeger at the Farmers Insurance Open that Matthew Pavone eventually won. He had four straight missed cuts after that, but he was T13 at the Players, T21 at Houston. So, you know, you have seen bombs win here. If you look at my recent history that I put in at the column at VSiN.com, Corey Connors was 200-1 when he won here in 2019. J.J. Spahn 2 years ago was 150-1. Andrew Landry was 200-1. Steven Bowditch was 350-1. Ben Curtis was 150-1. This is all within like the last decade or so. Now, much better field, obviously, at the top with some of the names. But, yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be a mid-price or a bomb that's going to win here again this week in San Antonio.
So, yeah, my outrights, Noren, Bezuidenhout, and Keith Mitchell, as I said, I ended up on Novak, but not from an outright perspective. I'm going to play him top 20 and top 40. You're getting plus money on both of those, plus 350 on the top 20, plus 175 on the top 40. Another placement market guy for me, and a guy that was as high as third in one of the models that I ran, Bud Cauley.
I looked at him
like, I mean, third in one of the models, he's friggin' third. And I'm just like, I was like, what is going on? But then you go in and you start to look and you start to kind of break down what Bud Cauley, again, 12th in this field in approach. Whenever, again, like I went in and shrunk stuff down to, I wanted to see what dudes have done basically in 2024 as we're leading in, because if you played, so it's about 24 rounds as it is anyway, but then you kind of see the dudes who played more or played less whenever you just go into like that after you, if you kind of put in mid January until now. So it's about that anyway. And so it's basically top 24 rounds for these guys, but some of them played a little bit more, some of them played a little bit less. And that's kind of what I wanted to see with all of that. And Bud Cauley, 12th strokes gained approach. First in that bucket of like of approach from 75 to 100, right? 15th good drive percentage. If you want that little like next little bucket of 125 to 150, he's 26th in this field, 7th in scrambling. I mean, I was like, I was blown away. 8th in sand saves, 20th in par five average, 3rd in bogey avoidance. Like,
because he came back from that long injury too.
Yeah, Bud Cauley. So again, I couldn't. All of these placement market guys that are bombs, like I say each and every week, I will put a crumb on them to win outright because I don't want to cry if they do. But like, but it's mainly the money is locked into these like top 20 and top 40 markets for those guys. I mentioned earlier Hideki over Rory. I have Keith Mitchell over Bo Hostler, which by the way is also plus money. I like Keith Mitchell to win this week. So if I like Keith Mitchell to maybe win this week, I'll definitely take him over Bo Hostler at plus money.
You got plus money on that? I got minus 110. Maybe I bet it after Matt.
Yeah. Yes, maybe so. Yeah. I have... I have Corey Connors over Colin Morikawa. I am fading Morikawa until I see like anything that resembles consistency from him. So I'll take Connors here at the Connors Invitational, essentially, to to beat Colin Morikawa. And then... I'm actually going against one of your guys, Wes, here, but it's a guy that we're both on as well, so I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I took Alex Noren over Billy Horschel. That was a head-to-head that is, I thought the price just wasn't indicative of the long-term success, whatever. It was minus 120 for Noren over Billy Horschel, so I did take Noren over Billy Horschel. I do have a pool, since I only have three outrights, I do have a pool of guys that I will add one or two of these guys. So I want to put that out there so I don't get the, hey, you friggin' didn't ever mention these guys or something like that. It's a short list that I want to dig into a little bit further. Maybe you guys can help me out. Let me know where they showed up, maybe in your models or whatever. I don't know if this is a buy low spot on Max Homa. That is something that is really kind of getting at me, because if he hadn't have been so bad off the tee over the last couple of tournaments, I think we would see Max Homa at a shorter odd. So I don't know if this is a buy low on him. Akshay Bhatia showed up very well in a lot of the models for me. Eric Van Rooyen, another guy that showed up. I think it's probably because I weighed so much par five stuff, Kelly, and he just destroys par fives. Like, he is number one with a bullet as far as par five scoring in all of this. Lucas Glover, weirdly enough, like, showed up.
He was one of my last leave-offs.
Like, he's fifth in one of my models, which I thought, like, because I put in no putting, obviously. And so, like, if you put in putting, then he probably falls down your rankings pretty hard. But I put in no putting. So if you just look at all the stats outside of putting, he's fifth in one of my models, which was pretty crazy. So maybe I get to Glover. And then I have to just decide whether I'm going to drink very early on Sunday morning or not, even though I have a show at 9 a.m. that I do on the network. But, like, do I want to go down the Russell Henley experiment? Yes, yet again, because he's another dude that just really showed up inside the top 12 in every single version of the model that I ran. And I just don't know if I can go down that street again with Russell Henley. Did any of those names, Wes, you said first off your card was Lucas Glover, so that's good to know. What about Homa, Kelly, Batia, EVR, Russell Henley, any of those guys?
EVR did. Henley's an interesting one because, no, he really didn't pop to me at all. But I'm just thinking and looking at odds as you're talking. And the, like, I don't know if I can get there on Homa. I hear you on the, I hear you. Like, the form's not there. I don't know if that price has drifted far enough, though, for me to really feel like I'm getting a ton of value on it. Even in this, I mean, the field that's stronger than it usually is at this course, but it's still a watered down field compared to what we're going to see next week. I think I'd be interested in him if I started to see a three next to that number. If it was 30, something like that. Henley, though, I mean, 45-1 in this field, like, he's drifted a bit, it feels like, on these odds. So I think you're maybe getting in on a little bit of a buy. Could get in on a bit of a buy low spot for him, at least where he's kind of ranked at with the rest of these guys. So that one would be interesting to me, even though he didn't really pop. Batia, I feel like, Wes, you and I discussed last week.
Yeah.
He did pop more for me last week. I'm just kind of looking like he's mid-teens range for me.
He ended up 11th, but he was in the top 10 for a lot of Sunday. And by the way, even though he is a PGA Tour winner, because a lot of people are like, why isn't he in the Masters? He won that Barracuda, which was that alternate event to the Open, which doesn't get a Masters invitation. So he's not yet in the Masters, so he has a lot of urgency this week.
That sucks. I don't know if I knew that. Why the hell are you having another PGA Tour event on the same week?
They have those alternate. Do that with the Barbasol down in Kentucky. That's usually an opposite event. Some years it's been the Barracuda. So, yeah, the Barracuda, because remember, he beat Patrick Rogers, another guy who is looking for his long-awaited first PGA Tour win, who I considered this week. He beat him in that playoff out there at that the old Reno Tahoe Open is what it was called.
A couple of guys, just longer shot guys, bombs that I actually mentioned him a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, and he showed pretty well, actually. Max Gracerman again popping in.
He hits it a ton off the tee.
And the other thing about this is I shortened this to where it's not getting clouded by Korn Ferry stats either, right? Like, so I shortened this time span to be all of his PGA Tour starts, right? And so with that, he's still showing up in kind of the top 15 of a lot of these models that I'm running, and his odds are not indicative, I don't think, of where that is. So probably going to end up with a placement market bet on Gracerman and just hope that he's not tiring out, because he has fired off like several weeks in a row here. I imagine trying to see if he can't work his way, bink one of these to get into the Masters. And of course, we kind of skipped over him. If you want to play Ludwig, he's going to win at some point. He's so incredibly good. It's just 12-1.
Yeah.
I'll miss out on it if I miss out on it. But like, he's inside the top five in every single, whatever.
Yeah. Look, of all like the chalky guys, he was the one I did kind of like, okay, maybe I got to take a second look here. But yeah, 12-1. And I know he's played this course before, because obviously he played at Texas Tech as a collegiate. So he's played here before. I think he has a third in an event on one of those collegiate events. But at 12-1, I still feel like this guy, even though he's got all the talent in the world, he needs to be like in the low to mid 20s in an event like this.
Yeah, that's he was, there wasn't many guys I entered this week thinking I was going to bet, but he was one of them. And in Wes, exactly what you said. I thought I was going to get 18, something like that on him. And I was like, all right, never mind. It was a quick look at the odds. And I was like you said, Matt, I'm good. He wins this week. That's fine. Whatever. I'm fine missing out on
this. Like, I'll miss out on it. Like, and he very well might. I mean, he's been right there, right? Yeah. He's basically had like a 7 stretch of bad holes every tournament that has kept him from winning. But he's still friggin' top 20 in every single tournament. You know, it's like, he's just kind of under the radar.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought him up though. Cause he did rate out very highly for me. There is without a doubt, you could look at my numbers and absolutely make a case to bet him at 12-1. It's just with where he's at in his career, I'm fine waiting and missing on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I am as well. I thought I would get a juicier number, him versus Rory, but like, it's not. So like, I'll pass on the head to head there too. And again, if he beats Rory, then I left money on the table with all that. Guys, as always, you can go to VSiN.com/picks. You can see each and every one of our picks, and as well as anyone else's picks other across the network that has come on and talked about this tournament as well. And of course, we're going to talk a ton about the Masters. The Masters betting primer already up on VSiN.com. So go and take advantage of that. And of course, we will have a special show for you guys next week as well that will air on the traditional VSiN network, where we are going through and talking about all things Masters as well. Humble brag before I get on a plane and head over there. So that is, I thought I'd sneak that in, Kelly. I know you like when
you some bitch. I remember you were talking about it. I didn't know you ended up doing that. Look at you.
Before I get on a plane and head over there. So I'll just slip that in as we go. So for Wes,
hi Fitz.
For Kelly, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your Valero bets.